Shall lick a big thing and this song keep them missing. Everything is gonna be alright. We get the trust this time. We're gonna rise and take what's ours. We get the trust this time. We're gonna rise and fly above.
I think
Ram Rising, beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and broadcasting live every Sunday on the OLC, IG, and Facebook at the Empower Hour Radio. Now, for the next 2 hours, this squad is going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. Today's show is brought to you by CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, and the Caribbean Curry House. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour and enjoy 10% off of your next meal. I'm Queen Kaya, joined today by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens that are listening.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's the takeover. It's the takeover. It's just the two of us this morning.
Just the two of us.
Yes.
We can make it if we try.
You know, I love it when Gigi sings.
Ooh. So blessings. You know, I'm not... Neither Kai or I are the Pharaoh blessings of the showers, but I want to say that we want today's show to entertain, to enlighten, and empower you. And we hope that today's show will also incite healing and growth, as well as appreciation for yourself and your loved ones. Because this show, we're still in Tough Talks series, and we are talking about friends and family in that relationship segment. So, you know, blessings to you and yours and all your loved ones and your friends and families, the ones that you were born into and the ones that you have chosen. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna have some heavy parts in this show, but we're gonna make sure to keep some to give you some light to balance that out. And so let's hope that the takeaways in this show is just altogether uplifting. Wahago, amen.
Amen.
Hotep
Ashe.
Okay, now.
Ashe.
Okay, now. Kaya, how has your week been?
Child. Well, this week was definitely a trialing week for me. This week, I actually put my baby to rest. My car, Gringa.
Her name was Gringa?
Yeah, her name is Gringa.
Oh, Gringa. Yes. Was she white?
She's my soldier. No, she's green, actually, because that's what Gringa really means, right? It means woman in green.
Oh.
It was how they described soldiers when they seen them in Spanish countries. When they seen the white soldiers come in, they would say, un gringa, because they were wearing green. So they were soldiers. That's how they called them. So
look at me learning this morning.
Yeah, so she's my soldier, right? So I just want to tell y'all a little bit about my car now that she's passed on. She literally took me through some of the toughest times in my entire life. And there was a time when, and a lot of you guys might not know this, but there was a time when I was in a relationship for 11 years. Hence why last week when we were speaking about relationships, stuff, or 2 weeks ago, we spoke about single relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that actually turned, like, put me into the place that I was in and it caused the transition. So my boyfriend of 11 years left and I was pretty much super depressed. I was like going through it. I didn't know what I was going to do. And after a couple of years of kind of nursing my heart, I asked for God to send me someone that could just like help me. Just help me at this time.
Right.
Because I felt like I had been with a man for so long that it was difficult for me to maneuver without one almost.
Well, you lose, because there's a codependence that happens, especially after 11 years.
Yes.
So it's you have to find yourself again.
And he was 8 years my senior. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely very comforting. So when this time came around, I just felt like I didn't have what I needed to feel complete. And, I prayed, and one day I met this guy, and he just came in and started changing my life little by little. And there was nothing required of me, really, just for me to
be you.
Step up. Yeah. And just okay. And step up my game. That was it. He really just wanted to see me advance. So he bought me this car one day, and he was like, I need you to start driving. So
You know, you had this license for a year now, and it's time for you to drive. So I'm going to take you to this place tomorrow, and I want you to come and look at something. So when I came and looked at it, I liked it right away. And he was like, good, I'm glad you like it because I bought it. And so I was just like, oh, my gosh. And that day I got my wings. But this car literally carried me out of a depression and into one of the best places that I've ever been in my life and the best times that I've ever been in my life. So I call her my soldier because one of the first trips that I took, I didn't realize that her tires were not put on properly.
Oh, you mentioned something like that. Man.
Mm-hmm. And I took her on a long distance ride to Toronto. And on the way back, I realized that every time I hit kind of like near 120, the car would start to like shake. And she was vibrating like. And I'm like, why am I car acting crazy? As soon as I get into Montreal, I'm going to the garage. So I took it to the garage. Shout out to OFC garage owner, Akeem. Is one of the best. He took care of my baby the whole way through. So shout out to Akeem. This car literally had no tires on it. The car had, he said, three bolts in one, two in another, and the tires were literally coming off the car.
Where did the bolts go, though?
They must have shot out. But, you know, when I was driving, okay. I was hearing ping, ping, ping. But I didn't even, I was a new driver, right? So I'm driving this. So I get back there. He's like, no, hold on. Let me show you. When he lift the car up, the tires pretty much just went bloop, bloop, and like came down on the sides. And he was like, do you see this? That was so dangerous. And I sat there that day and I cried my eyes out. I needed to take that trip in order to go and get money for rent for my bills. And I literally was like, I don't even know how to drive long distance, but I'm about to take this ride. And I did it. And I came back and with quadruple what I thought I was coming home with. Okay. So now when I got back, I'm like, oh my God. So I was like, you know what, girl, put the money in her. Let's fix her up. I put the money in the car. I fixed her up. When I looked around, I had quadrupled that money and quadrupled the money after that. And I looked around and I was flying. I started making plans that I never thought. The car was like my wings.
Yes.
And so it was very emotional for me the other day. So yes, it's a little bit sad, but it's actually, I got a silver lining to this. So the other day, I'm giving my baby up because I definitely love and respect her so much. And I'm holding the steering wheel and the guy's getting ready to tow her away, the guy from the chop shop. And I'm holding on to the steering wheel and I'm crying and I'm like, I love you. And I thank you. I thank you so much. You've been everything to me. You're my soldier. And I can't believe I'm losing my baby today. And the man gets up and he runs to the window. He says, you're having miscarriage.
Oh,
I'm like, what? He said, you say you're losing your baby today. I'm so sorry. I'm like, my car, sir. He's like, oh, I thought you were pregnant. I'm like, no, I am just fat. Give me 5 minutes with my car, please. Please, go over there. So I just cried a little bit and hugged my car and just told her how much I love her. But I got rid of my baby and I feel.
But she gave you wings.
Oh, man.
And she brought you as far as she could. So it's time. And one thing's for sure is that that discomfort of when it's time for you to level up.
Yeah.
Right. And it's letting go of what you're comfortable with. And it's hard, but you need to get rid of the dead weight.
Yeah.
To level up.
Well, shout out to my homegirl, Tamara, because she definitely took me that same day. She took me car shopping. She's like, come on, we're going to go and just talk to the people and look and see. And I actually saw some stuff that I like. It's going to be a little bit expensive just because, you know, it is what it is. And it happens like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm about to go and get me a new car. And I'm just going to, I think that that's going to be the next step for me to actually grow into. Because I think I was operating from a place of lack.
Right.
So
right.
My mind had me thinking that, my gosh, I'm not going to be able to afford to pay $400 a month or $500 a month extra for a car. Right. And I'm already having, but I'm like, nah, I'm about to use this car to make some money. I just opened a new business, Lickety Split LLC, and I sell luxury adult apparel and toys. So I'm just going to build the business.
Why am I first hearing about this, Kaya?
Well, because I'm a little bit scared. I actually opened a company 3 months ago. But I am just, I'm afraid sometimes. I think I'm afraid of my own success sometimes.
Well, fear will do it to you.
Yeah.
Fear will stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
And then when you go past it, you're just like, man, there was nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I need to practice what I preach. Don't get me wrong.
Listen, listen, you're one of my heroes. You don't know. I see you jumping over hurdles and leaping over hurdles all the time. So I'm like, yeah, go ahead, Gigi. That's good. You know what? That's my example. I'm like, yep, my good Judy could do it. I'm doing it too.
But I hear that because I had my Honda for 10 years. And then when it came down to like getting a new car, and it's like, oh man, the car payments of this, that, and the third. And then I said, wait a minute. You work.
Mm-hmm.
You do these things, you do all these things, get the car, like, and I had, cause I had the Honda for 10 years. And then, my mom knew an older lady who was selling her car. Cause I went without a car for a year cause I was like, oh, I don't need it. But then when you needed that car, man, it was really annoying to not have one. And so, she was selling like an older Toyota Camry or whatnot. It was in perfect shape and stuff like that, but it's not the car I wanted. And I was like, well, that's fine. So I'll have that car to use for, you know, the times that you didn't want it. So technically that was my second car. I kept it for less than a year. Cause I was just like, no, I want a new car. I want a new car that doesn't have any issues. It's not going to give me issues with starting and all these different things. And lo and behold, I think it's been 6 years now that I've had this one car. And I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off. I'll tell you that much.
I love it.
But, and I was scared too, because it's just like, oh, these payments are different. How am I going to do that? And then adjust.
It's different going with having a car with no payments.
Yes.
Right? That's completely paid for, to having to pay every month. Because I'm like, what y'all did with the money I gave y'all last month? Didn't I just give y'all $500 last month for the car?
Y'all can't carry that over?
Like, I don't understand how long did this $500 last for?
I'll say this though, I'm very happy that we're here in Quebec with it, because when I hear those insurance prices in Ontario, listen, it's higher than the car notes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, listen, just come and register your stuff here. I'm gonna have like 50 envelopes for people's insurance in my mailbox, because you guys, it's terrible.
No, it don't make no sense.
Yeah,
don't make no sense.
So, anyways, enough about me, Gigi. What happened in your week this week? Tell us what's going on.
Well, first and foremost, I want to say, sorry for your mourning, but I know that better things are to come. So I'm excited for the next chapter.
Amen.
And I'm glad that you got back on the horse and I already started to look for cars.
Yeah.
That's important.
Amen.
So this week, so I'm, if you're first joining us for the first time this year, you may not know that I recently moved. And so I'm in my place now. I am out of boxes. Thank you, God.
Thank God.
I am out of boxes. I just have knickknacks and stuff to kind of put away, and there's still things in the condo that aren't completed because it is a new build. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming bits and pieces and installing certain things, and thankfully they installed the vanity and the mirrors in my bathroom, because I had no mirrors this whole time. And you don't realize how much you need that when, I don't know, you want to fix your hair.
Right.
They installed it and it had so much more storage space, so I was just like, hallelujah. I was able to kind of get rid of more stuff, put stuff away, and I have a couple of like shelving and stuff like that I need to give away. I'm about to post that. I'm not even making a headache out of it. Like, I'm just going to post it for free. You just got to come pick it up. Like,
amen.
I'm not really worrying too much about that. But part of that is knowing that I had too much stuff.
Mm.
I knew that from when I was packing. I felt it and got rid of things. I felt it when I moved and still had to get rid of things.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it now and still have to get rid of things.
Yeah.
Including the food in your pantry.
Oh my gosh, don't even say it.
I don't even understand why I think... I don't even... No, because what is my problem, Kaya? Why do I feel like I have no food in my house and I don't even have pantry room right now because I have so much food?
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain things where I was just like, when I bought this, when did I think I was going to cook this?
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you I have some beans soaking right now back home, because I'm about to make some sauce pot tonight.
Yeah.
So I am on a mission to cook and eat what's in my house.
Yes.
But when you're like, where's the money coming from and whatnot? Food delivery services.
Yes.
Y'all about to miss me.
That's right.
Y'all about to miss me for a minute, because I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to let you guys hold me accountable.
I'm about to say I'm holding you to this one too.
That until my pantries come down to a normal amount, or maybe even further. Maybe this will just be how things are. But once a week is an eat out. No
I
more.
I love that.
And that's big. Maybe twice a week. I think I'm being drastic right now. I'm being really drastic. Because it hits different when you're yes. just one person, and then you like you cook something and you're eating the same thing for 3 days.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's exactly me. You know, we spoke about this when we talked about the singles week. Yeah. Those are the times when it bothers me. Like, and I used to have a guy that I used to date and yes. like I used to frequent, and I used to be like, sometimes I didn't even want to see him, but I'd be like, I got some leftovers, and he'd be like, I'm on my way.
Yep. Yes, I will. Here's
come and eat this food, man.
Basil container, come grab this.
Yes.
And not that I'm happy to do it for you too, but it's not that I'm helping myself.
That's right.
More than I'm helping you in that particular case.
That's right. I don't want to be a waster. Like,
I hate throwing out food.
Yeah.
And so, no, I'm going to be more conscious about what I purchase. So that's about more of the like fresh foods and stuff like that I need to be able to accompany the rest of the stuff that I have in my place.
Yeah.
So there's some of that going on this week. I found my couch.
Yeah.
So when I moved, I sold my couch to my tenant because I did want to get another couch. I've been wanting a new couch for some time. So I went couch hunting on Saturday, and I sat on this one couch and
you're in love.
The love. The love of it all. And I was just like, it's me and you and you and me.
Yeah.
So I'm getting that in July. And I was like, I was on a mission too. I got like flooring for my balcony because it has like, it's like the concrete type balconies.
Yes.
So I got those little tiling and stuff like that you put down. So like it's from IKEA, and you just put it down so that it's that you're just not literally stepping on concrete.
Right.
And put that up. Yes. Yeah. You put that up on Saturday. No, I was on a mission.
Is it like the fake grass stuff?
So it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go with the fake grass because I didn't want like dust and dander to kind of like just accumulate in there.
Right.
But it's the same concept of where you want to lay something down on your balcony and then put your patio furniture and stuff like that on there.
Beautiful.
So I got like a little darker color because the rimming is like black and stuff. So like my place is coming along. That's what's happening. I will be.
We love it when a plan comes together.
And then once that's said and done, I'm letting y'all know from now, she's taking a break. I'll be flying out in June. Vacation's coming. Amen. Going to Costa Rica. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love it.
So I've been practicing my Espanol.
Oh, qué bueno, mi amor.
Ah, gracias.
Ay, ¿tú hablas español?
Solo un poquito.
Ay, qué bueno. Hey.
Solo because I have the accent a lot more than I have the vocabulary.
That's all that matters. They love that. They're going to think it's so charming. You're going to have one papi chulo fast.
Hey, qué guapo. Ay, qué papi. Guapo. Ay. ¿Qué te dice? Yeah, I can do all that. I can do all that.
Listen, y'all have just tuned into the Empower Hour, and this is Gina and Kaya tearing it up on the ones and twos. I'm just going to let you know.
Yep.
This is our show today.
It definitely is. It
Don't definitely be mad, Farrah.
He couldn't be. we all have our times and our things, but he couldn't make it today, so that's
yes.
okay.
Yes.
So no, that was the week. That was the week, and what a week it was. So Kaya, today, we touched a bit about it. We're talking relationships, but specifically about friends and family.
Yes.
Because those are relationships too.
Absolutely.
And so after this quick musical break, we're gonna get into it.
I love it.
Mixing it down. Down. It's DJ K Quick.
Run, run, run. Run, run, run. I bet I run, run, run. Run, run, run. Run, run, run. I bet I run, run, run. But I never wanna see your face again. Don't wanna get caught in your spell. I'ma make you put me through living hell. Time again, when me see you not the party, get up, stand up and run the way you put it on me body. I me feel it all out, now you alone get me so naughty. You make me fall in love, me shoulda listen to me charge it. I know you're never good for me. I know you're
to get some of the good love when make me tremble and I'm on. Lose control if me get a scent where similar to your cologne. Want your button and need it, that's just how I feel. Whoa, oh, oh, we both know. You're not right for me, so I better you go. Yeah, I'm done, 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 done. Now you till you settle down. Now I'm gonna make you lift your spell on me.
And the crew come back the old city down. Because the bad boy them a mash up the town, and if the minute is another showdown. Why boy, oh, why boy, eh? I know me tell them be cool and second, them still a gone like devil. Parade the place and a burst them pebble. Old people pot can bubble. Showdown. Why boy, oh, why boy, eh? Bad boy them a mash up the place, and man a get shot in the face. Why boy, oh, why boy, eh? Tell them for me them put a bad leg stand up, I clean them steel and I rinse them iron. Tell them they come all a try this day from Zion with the cosmic. And the strength of a lion, yeah. Messenger, they hear me and beg you not to come. All who out there around the place warm. In the name of the Almighty, stop fire them come. Before you know another,
rhythm like this, we not play with love. A long time on a DJ in a dance. A long time on a chant in a dance. My come for nice up this year, yeah. Come for nice up Jamaica, but watch a check. Dance off, sell off. Dance off the cup. Liquor, sell off. Georgie wine, sell off. People really see it and have to laugh. Oh, Lord. Promoter and his eyes, you have to laugh. Oh, them laugh. Cha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Cha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Born and grow in Jamaica. No matter where my bum in a left, yeah. Me say me not left Jamaica. Not at all. Me coulda never left Jamaica. In comes King Kabaka, lyrical champion. Watch me chop up the rhythm like a sword from Japan. So bright and for squint like a real Chinese man. Practitioner of yoga but not Indian. Lyrics them a weapon of mass destruction. Me up nuclear bomb like a American. Can't overstand like a Egyptian. Hieroglyphic when me ship it to the fifth dimension. Me chat it on the rhythm that a fit me religion. You get twist up and plot up like a Brazilian. Pile off your face with the mic in my hand. Then me sip a cup of tea like me come from England. A long time on a DJ in a dance. A long time on a chant in a dance. Me come for nice up the year, yeah. Me come for nice up Jamaica. But watch your jet, dance off the bar. Dance on salam, liquor salam. Georgie wine salam. People really see it and have to laugh. Oh Lord, promoter and his eyes on the floor.
See your face. Did you wait to this place? They're moving in so much haste. When the little gamma rays, wickedness on full display. Every minute, every hour, every day. Always look at what they do. Never listen what they say. 9 minutes, 29 seconds. Yeah. Time to. Crook them off the hook. But have a black skin and see how them cook the book. Them bugs we're not gonna process here to solve. Things are gonna get no better. They're making it harder, fulfilling their agenda. But we will never surrender. Chase.
listen what they say. Year after year they discuss it. They make no move. Black people not gonna get no justice. You can show you care. Keep that love in your heart. Trust no shadow after dark. Shadow after dark.
Mixing it down. It's DJ K Quick.
You are a mountain. You are a river. Out there is a jungle. Got to be stronger.
You can see a man's face, but never his heart. Shadows after dark, no shadows after dark.
You can show you care. Keep that love in your heart. Trust no shadow after dark, shadow after dark.
And whatever the circumstance, pushing you to take a chance, you better follow your intuition, telling you to take a stand.
You can see the face, but not the heart of those who want to do you wrong. So many gone without a trace, gone without a sound.
You gotta believe and never let go, never let go. Ooh, because you can see a man's face, but you can't see his heart. Trust no shadow after dark, no shadow after dark. You can show.
All right, that's some good music to start off your morning. You need that every now and again.
Beautiful. You know, the musical breaks for me are when I'm actually when I have a chance to go back and replay and listen to it. Musical breaks are one of my favorite. I think that it's part of what adds that certain je ne sais quoi to the show, you know? It takes you, okay, we're talking, and people like to hear what we're talking about because we have great topics and stuff, but when that music comes in from these different DJs and stuff like that, giving us a feel of them, their day, I think that all helps. I think it all helps us. It changes the mood.
And I think dancing helps the, probably naming the wrong hormone or whatever enzymes, whatever it is in your brain to help, like, well, as long as it's the right music, don't get me wrong, but like it helps to get your mind right.
I love that. It's definitely therapeutic.
It is.
It's therapeutic. It is. I was thinking about one of the mixes that we got from Fenn. Mm-hmm. And Fenn did a mix one day, and I was sitting and listening, and I was like, where you know this music from, little girl? Yeah. But she knows some stuff, and I actually listened to it. I went back and played it, and I sent it to all my friends. I said, listen, fast forward to this part and listen to this mix. This mix was done by, like, a little baby. I need y'all to listen to this. And everyone was impressed. So I know that that's a thing. And they're like, oh, so we listening to Fenn's thing? I'm like, you going back and listen to the old recording? They're like, yeah, we listened to her mix because her mix is actually really good. So I think I love that. Yeah, shout out Fenn.
Shout out Fenn, our junior host. Next week is our junior host show. So let's see if she won't be mixing on the ones and twos on that too.
Amen.
So we talking friends and family, and I broke it down a little bit. I have some questions and to incite this conversation. And again, like this conversation that we're about to have is much more about. It's not like we're teaching anything per se, but I think it's really starting a conversation when it comes down to friends and families, because those are really your first relationships.
I agree.
In life, right? So let's dig a little bit into friends. Kaya, how do you define friendship today? Like, what are your expectations out of a friend?
That's a little bit tough for me because I feel like I'm one of 16 siblings, so I tend to have a habit that when I make a friend, I kind of treat them more like a sibling than like a friend, because my first friends that I had were one of my 16 siblings.
Right.
So I really don't know how to do it any other way. So also being the big sister in my mom's household, I also tend to take on that role, even with my friends that are older than me. So I don't really have many expectations, really, of my friends in that way. I really am like, I really meet people where they're at, because I'm not, I'm really not like, I'm not demanding. I'm not like, oh, you have to do this or you got to be like that. I'm really not like that. I'm just like, come as you are. And if we get it twisted along the way, we have the right conversations and move past it. I also don't believe in pushing my loved ones out. When there's a problem, I actually pull them in closer so that I can understand. Because I also learned along the way from having, and for those of you who understand and know some different things about my life, I've had some experiences where I've eaten shit from strangers, you know, so I would rather eat it from my family and friends than from strangers. So, I don't push mine out. I pull them in. So I don't really have many expectations except for them to be good to themselves. And I know that that will just allow them to be better to others, but I really don't have those types of expectations for my friends and family. And I try not to burden people with my stuff either, because sometimes I feel like my bag might be too heavy. So I don't really expect too much. Really, I just expect us to be fair. Fairness for me, I think, is one of my biggest things. Tact, being fair, and diplomacy is like my three favorite words.
Well, they say fair exchange is no robbery, right? My thing about friendship, and when it comes down to definition of friendship, I think it's important to highlight maybe the definition of what a friendship isn't. PSA, your coworker is not your friend.
Yeah.
You can have a friend that's a coworker, but your coworkers, they're not your friends.
Yes.
And defining the difference between a friend and an acquaintance, there's a difference there too. And so for me, I feel like sometimes people are too quick to call someone a friend.
Yes.
And then maybe, and not to say that there's one definition of what a friend is. Everyone has their expectations and or definition of what a friend is.
Yes.
But for me, what I consider a friend, and what some other people are like, oh, Gina, my friend, are like, are we though? Because we don't talk. I don't know you. I don't know your favorite color. I don't know anything that you do, so
yeah.
we might be acquaintances.
Yes.
I might know you from around the way.
Yes.
But to have to say friend, like, some people are a little fast and loose with the term.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a different definition from that perspective. But I think what I appreciate most in friendship is the ability to be yourself,
mm-hmm.
and for them to be themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where I find you have a real friendship. Like, and it's not that to say that, it's not to say that I'm faking things left, right, and center, but when I'm at work, who I am at work is still me, but it's a, not a watered down version of, but
you get the coded version.
The coded version. You get the coded version, 100%.
Right. At work, I give you three parts of Gina. If you get to know me, you'll understand that there is hundreds of layers,
exactly.
But these people get three.
Exactly.
Because that's all that they require for who they are in
business.
My life. Right. We do 8 hours a day together, and we,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly that. I could, like, that. That's what I see. And then when I see that we have a friendship growing, then you get to know things about me that the other coworkers don't. And it's interesting because I was having a conversation one day with someone, and they're just like, well, I never knew this about you. Well, I never knew that about you. Or I didn't know. I didn't realize. Or because I had made a comment where... the way I grew up is I don't ask questions. You wait for people to volunteer information kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, we're like, don't pry into people's business. And I say I grew up both from a nature and nurture perspective.
Yes.
But like when you come into certain spaces, like, you know, ask me no questions. I tell you no lies or, you know, plausible deniability in life.
Yes.
So I come from, I come a little bit from that. And so I'm not going to ask you. Like, if I say hello, good morning, whatever, you want to tell me how your weekend went, that's your interest. I'm not going to be like, well, what'd you do this weekend? Well, who'd you do it with? And blah, 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 blah. To me, that's nosy. And that's like
a little,
like,
invasive.
It's invasive.
Yeah.
And so when I mentioned that, like, I'm the type of person where I'm all open for you to, provide me with all the information that you want. Like, I'm interested in hearing how your weekend went.
Yes.
But I'm not going to, I'm not going to pry into your business.
Right.
And the person was like, wow, like, I grew up completely different. And so I didn't even know that about you. And I think it changed their perspective of who I am. Whereas some people might have thought I was just standoffish or yes. just didn't care because of how you grew up.
Right.
And then, you know, you took that a certain way. Right. But all that to say, again, that was still my coworker. And yes. that's why I only volunteer the information to let you know that my weekend was great. How was yours? You didn't really need to know what I did yes. on any higher, yes. any deeper level than that.
Well, y'all should take this as a good thing because we share with you guys. You know, you guys, absolutely. You guys are some of our besties. So
yes.
We let you guys queen. In on some of our stuff. Hey, King. Hey, Queen.
My next question would be, how do you build new friendships today? You
know, I don't.
You don't?
You know what? If people come into my life and their energy is good, I kind of just let it be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
If you come and you're good, I know that you're not a bad person. I don't have to fear that because I don't have my own children, but I got kids around me. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to know that if I have you around that you're not going to bother the kids. I need to know, you know, that you're not into weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm going to let you be who you are. Just as long as you come around and don't hurt nobody. Really, yeah. That's what it is for me. It's so many people that have people that come into their lives and just hurt them and do weird things and just subject you to things that you don't even understand and know about. So I just, for me, I let people come and just, you know, be who they are. And if your energy is good and it's right, then we can hang, we can hang out, we can, you know, and I start slow. Really, that's what it is for me. Yeah. I just start slow. That's it.
I resonate with the energy thing. I do find, because it's the energy, but I think it also takes a referral. You know what I mean? Like,
cause, I know that's right. Come and show me your credentials, honey.
Well, like, you know, I have to, we go be friends because a friend brought you around and then our energy is connected because otherwise, like, I'm not in school anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't do all these different things. Like, I think from all my jobs that I've left, like, I've taken a friend that can come along.
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. I've had that. But like high key, just cause especially now, like, you know, the whole online world, right? And there's that thing that you see a lot. Oh, my friend. And then you're like, who's this friend? And it's like, a lot of times it's, like gamers.
Yes.
They call these friends that they have all around the world. You're never going to see each other a day in life. You don't even know what you look like. Cause yes. all you know is the voice when you guys are playing Call of Duty.
Yes.
But like now you have online friends.
Right.
And so I don't even know how, like we have difficulty dating. How are you even finding friends now?
You know what? I kind of understand that. You just said it and it was like, whoa, because it brought back a situation. I saw my friend's child playing video games with these grown folks. Mm. And he's on Call of Duty. And I have to tell you, like, the kid is like a marksman. So I'm like, listen, you better watch him. They like, listen, don't worry about him. Listen, he got big people friends. Listen to what the people is telling him. They're on the thing, and the father keeps the big people on. They keep them, like, on a speaker, so he can hear everything that they say.
Okay, right.
So he hears the little boy cursing. I don't give a f- what you said. Listen, I'm telling you what to do. Get down. I'm trying to protect your neck, homie. I'm like, what? After they finish the game, they're like, listen, you know, when we're playing this game, you can't be cussing and stuff like that. Afterwards, you play the game. I understand your hype. I hear them telling them something like, who's this talking to your kid? He like them, the people on the Xbox, those his friends. Those is not his friends, but they're on there. And it's
the
not,
village. And they're not his friends, but it's definitely.
But they realize that he's nine.
Yeah.
They realize that he's nine and he's very good at what he does, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they're really just showing him like, yeah, this is how you do. But listen, hey, when you don't talk like that with your friends, when you get off of here, eh, bud? I'm like, who's that? He's like, that's the people on the game. But I can see that happening. Yeah. I could see people getting connected to people like that. This is how we get to show catfish. If you are what a person needs.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They might not ever have to see your face. Just the voice. Right. These people are sending hundreds of thousands of dollars to people that they've never seen before. How did you send this money that are on catfish? But I can see that happening.
Or 90 Day Fiance.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody providing something for you that you've never had before.
Yeah.
Something that you needed and made you that comfortable. So I see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Okay, that's perspective. That's perspective, because and again, it goes back to the definition of what a friendship is, right? And so, how do you do that? How do you define mm-hmm. that? And that's very interesting.
See, we don't understand it because we have people who go outside and talk to people. Hey, how you doing? But you got some people that don't leave out their house, yeah, that are truly introverts that have these. So how do they? Well, that's how.
But I also think, like, because I'm an introvert too. I'm not going to hold you. I'm definitely an introvert. Oh, heck yeah. And understanding that introvert doesn't mean that you have to, that you need to be home, but that's where you recharge. Mm-hmm. So I do not recharge in public settings. Mm. No, it drains the life out of me. So I'm much more of an introvert from that perspective, but I grew up with going outside and playing as a kid. And so I think that what this digital world has created mm-hmm. Is creating introverts by force, maybe? So that's an interesting... that's going to be interesting in these next generations to come and what it's going to look like. And
it's going to affect the personal interactions.
Yeah. Yeah, because and I was talking to somebody at work, and they're just like, "Well, you know, like the metaverse is part of detaching the need to actually go outside even more." And then people, in the works, like suits to give you stimulus and make you feel things, and then eventually, we're gonna look like the Matrix for real. We're just gonna be incubated in these things and just plugged in and. It's going to be what it's going
to
be.
I want real people to touch me and talk to me and stuff. Hello. So I can't get with it. Even though I like VR and all that. I know I told y'all that VR is my life, but I can't. I need my interpersonal relationships. Yeah. I need friends. I need my family.
Have fun with it here and there. And then I want to come back to reality. Mm-hmm. Kaya, have you ever mourned a lost friendship?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've had a couple of funerals over the years. Absolutely. In the times when I was attempting to, pull, a friend of mine back in, he was very resilient, and because he had his own motive at the time, he acted like he was very comfortable with us being estranged, if you can call it.
Right.
But he passed a level for me, and you know, as my friends, I guess maybe I do have some requirements, especially when it comes to certain things. So my guy friends, I don't want y'all trying to talk to my, you know, I come from a family of all women. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't come in here trying to act like you my friend and then trying to go up my sisters and my cousins and stuff like that. No. If we hanging out, we friends, and you know that we not trying to be nothing else to each other. If we friends, don't come around here trying to do that. And at least if you go and do that, come around here and do it the right way.
There's a right way.
Right. If I know you sleazy, we out on a night, and I see you with girls and doing stuff. I know you sleazy. Don't come over here doing the sleazy at my mama house. We're gonna have a problem with that. But he was pretty much like, oh well, too bad, because he still wanted to do what he wanted to do, and I had to cut him off. And I had a whole funeral, and I regret it now, kind of, because I actually wrote about it on Facebook one day. I was very, very upset about it, and I actually put his name in it, and I was just like, you know, this.
Oh,
is
you didn't even hit the sublim. This is direct.
You know what? Lately, I don't really even do subs like that anymore. But I have always been a tag they name.
Yeah.
Don't play with me. I will say, you want me to. Hold on, let me make you famous right quick, because you playing games. Mm-hmm. So I don't care. So I put his name in it, and I was like, whatever. And then a lot of people hit me up like, oh my God, I can't believe you said. I'm like, too bad. Because this is something that I'm actually done with.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm done with it.
But do you feel like part of you putting that post was putting that last nail in the coffin?
Oh yeah, actually, I put it on. I said, and the saddest part of my day is that it's been a death of a friendship.
Yeah.
And then I put rest in peace, and I put his name. And they were like, whoa.
Well, you know what I find interesting is that a lot of the times you have people... Oh, I got to sneeze.
You know, they say when the sneeze comes, you know, that's the truth coming out. Come on.
Okay, well.
That's what they say.
Spitting. You said that and I kind of lost my... Oh, no, right. Like, I speak about mourning friendships because a lot of times you come out of relationships, so intimate relationships, and then you need a moment, right? You need the ice cream time. You need that moment to refine yourself. And it's as if we give more importance to those relationships because you think that's your intimate partner. But there is way more intimacy that you have when you have a friend. Because at the end of the day, as much as that's your bed buddy, you know, your pillow talk, and you talk to your intimate partner about those different things, I can guarantee you there's some secrets mm-hmm. that your friends know that your pillow buddy don't.
Oh yeah.
And so, and experiences, and half the times that person's been in your life a lot longer than
right.
said intimate person. So when, I think that sometimes people don't mourn their friendships the way they should mm-hmm. in a healthy way. And that's if it was a real friendship too. Right. So sometimes you realize where, what you thought was a friend mm-hmm. was not a friend the way you see them just kind mm-hmm. of move on.
Yeah.
It might help your mourning process, but I think it's healthy to mourn a friendship because it also deserves it the mm-hmm. same way you mourn any other relationship that you have to lose and that you have yes. to move on from.
Yes, I agree. I've actually I've had a couple different funerals. Actually, I've had a funeral for a friendship. And actually, the friendship came back to life.
Okay.
After some time. Yeah, but yeah, I had to probably. A resurrection? I needed to let it die
right.
first in order for us to, I think, have some clarity apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And then one day I just got a phone call and she was like, you know, I realized that our love languages are very different. And what I was doing, so I'm getting choked up right now. She said to me, what I was doing at the time to be your friend wasn't what you needed. Mm. And so I had these expectations for you that were not realistic mm-hmm. because you had me full as a friend and I had you empty and I was still requiring so much of you. And that changed my days for me because I was like, oh God, mm-hmm. I couldn't understand why she didn't understand what I was saying. Well, how come that was so hard for you to understand? But it took us 2 years
yeah.
to get back. So I think sometimes maybe that's what is needed, a little bit of growth between us. And then we can understand each other more, a little bit better. So I thank God for those moments because, yeah. like I said, yeah, I have put some to rest. But that situation in itself showed me something because I was so lost. I was so confused on how we could be estranged after being
right.
that way with each other. So it was good. It was good. It was like so powerful. It really was. It was so powerful between us. And now we are, it's something different. It requires so little now. It requires so much, something so different from us now because it's like, now it's not a task. It's like, oh my God, ooh. Girl.
You know, I think I want to amend my definition of friendship to add that like a friendship shouldn't be a task.
Yes.
It shouldn't feel like work.
Right.
Like that should be your escape from like work is supposed to feel like work. When we're friends, it's supposed to, even, and it doesn't mean that even when someone's going through something, it shouldn't feel like work to have to be there for them and to have to support yes. them in what they need and what they do. So that's,
yes.
yeah, I'm going to amend that, right? So being able to be yourself and letting it be easy to be friends. Cause, and I'll say that to say this too, that, it doesn't mean that you'll never have arguments. Mm-hmm. Because the friendship that I mourn, by the time the friendship was there to be mourned, it was our first actual argument.
Wow.
Right. But it was something that I couldn't come back from, right? It was something that like what transpired broke my trust and I have like, call it being a Capricorn, call it just being me, whatever it is, mm-hmm. When you truly truly break, and I'll call it from a Capricorn's perspective, a Capricorn's trust, mm-hmm. like it's a null and void, right?
Yes.
It's a null and void, and so I have other friends where like we've had disagreements and all these different things, but you come back and you talk about it and you move on.
Yeah.
And so it's because it's healthy to have different opinions. It's healthy to have, opposing conversations too. It's not, it doesn't mean that that's less of a friend.
Yes.
Being yourself and it being easy to be friends is definitely what I would say from there.
I love that.
Have you ever had to end a toxic relationship, and how did you realize it was toxic if you did?
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And I say, sorry, toxic friendship. When I'm saying relationship, yeah. A toxic friendship.
Yeah. Okay, so, crazy. So, oh gosh. You know, when I start telling stories, sometimes I don't want to put in certain details, but it's very, this detail in particular is very important because it's like, so I used to be very close with a young lady who was a virgin very late in life. Mm-hmm. However, she had conflicted views about everything. She's a virgin, but when she loses her virginity, she's going to sell it and then she's going to be a whore. And it was like, what?
Okay.
Are you crazy? Like, what? And she had a lot of, I guess you could say, private part envy. So anytime any of us as like her, the circle of friends would get a new boyfriend or go with a guy, she would say, oh, you guys are such trash and you're giving up your body to this guy that you've only known for a couple of months and all kinds of weird stuff. And it's weird, right? So then I get with a guy who was actually like a long lasting relationship, mm-hmm. and she ends up meeting the guy. And it was almost like she might have taken a little bit of a liking to him. But one day she calls herself like tripping on me and says to me, what would you think if I told him how many people you've been with? I said, well, how many people I've been with? Ow. So for her, three is too many. So I'm like, listen, I don't care what you think about how you think about what you think about what I'm doing my private parts. But if you feel like you want to go and tell him. That's the reason why he liked me, because I've been around the block a few times. I know how to do all the stuff that he like. So you don't tell me nothing. You try and go and use yours and get you some skills here, homegirl. And it was just like the worst. So then she wrote a bunch of stuff on Facebook like, yeah, I'm making these phone calls right now. And then she called out another one of my homegirls and was like, yeah, and I'm calling your fiance right now and telling him too. So we're like, please do. So in the end, ultimately, I had to get rid of this girl because I was literally so kind to her, so everything, like down, she's lived in my house before, all kinds, and literally just always had envy for my private parts. Like, listen, I don't know what you're doing with that thing, but I hate it.
Yo, that is the definition of that's not your friend.
No, it was crazy. It was great. But we grew up together since we were kids, but it wasn't that. I understand more now. Mm-hmm. But I have to love her from a distance.
Right.
Because who I am, who we are, annoys her. It peeves her to the point where she thinks that we're all trash because we've had sex and she hasn't.
But she wants to sell it and then slew. So I don't understand how...
She wants to sell it to the wealthiest men of the world.
Right. And then once it's sold, then for her, it's open season. So I don't understand...
Wow. But I think she feels like it's different from selling, like, you know, $300 dates or $500 dates opposed to Dubai porta potty for $50,000, $100,000 for your weekend. So I think that was what her whole thing was. She's like, if you're going to do it, you have to get $1 million for it. It's like, what? Okay, well, you find one of those, and we're going to go and get some foreskin and put it back. There and start fresh from the beginning and let somebody break it, because it's worth it if you're going to get that much for it. But I don't think anybody's getting that much for it these days, babe.
Use, reuse, recycle. So, listen.
So yeah, so that was a friendship that I literally was like, you know what? This is the end of it for me. And I can remember the day, literally, like, reading the statuses and just being like, you know what, you're gonna have to get it together and I'll holla, and just blocking her on all social media and just literally, and I put it out of my mind. And I can remember years later somebody mentioning her name, and I was just like, oh, I cringed. I was like, please don't speak of the devil.
That was interesting that you mentioned that too, because sometimes you have childhood friends who need to stay in your childhood. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you end up like, because you hear that, was like, why are you friends with her? Oh, I've known them since they were young, and since that, like, and mm-hmm. that it doesn't mean you still have to be friends.
Yes,
it doesn't mean you have to. I have not to say that it was toxic, but I learned earlier on that I can walk away from friendships mm-hmm. relatively easily when I identify that you're not my friend, mm-hmm. basically. And I think this was secondary five. So 11th grade, and we were in a class, and, you know, I grew up in Laval and Chamonix, and so we had our little black crew, because we had to, you know, unite. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many of us. I mean, we grew within the years, you know, but
yes,
there were still just the crew that we had. And so we're in this class, and there was a little French Canadian boy there, and he was just talking real like Haitian French, and he was just like, there's all like, oh yeah, you know, bad guy and getting and all that, and we're just like, yo, bruh, we need you to stop. Mm-hmm. I need you to stop appropriating our culture, and like, you know, so like the few Haitian people in the class, including myself, because as y'all know, I'm part Haitian, part Trini, we're just like, nah, that's not all right, that's not okay. And then my friend, who's in this class with me, turns to me and is just like, well, I don't know why you're so upset, because you're not really Haitian.
Oh. Well, that's the card.
I looked at her, I was just like, And I said nothing, but my brain went like, oh, because we're not friends. And in that moment, what she didn't know mm-hmm. was the end of our friendship.
Yes.
In its entirety. And I, you know, this is at a time where you couldn't have block and or delete. Mm-hmm. But I did that on the mental.
In your mind.
And so she did not exist in my world anymore.
Yes.
And like weeks passed by, and then she was just kind of like, I don't like what, how come you don't talk to me anymore? I was like, oh, I thought you realized that you weren't my friend. Because if that was what friends do, then I don't mm-hmm. need to know what enemies do. Like that was to me, that was wild.
Yes.
It was completely wild for you to say that, feel that way, and to speak to me. So for you to do that mm-hmm. meant that we weren't friends anyway. So don't worry about us not talking.
Yes.
Because that's not even, it's a mute point.
Yeah.
And I it's been that since. That's like crazy. In life, I'll like, you've show me who you are and I'll believe you.
Amen. Once.
Yeah. Maybe I should have seen that in certain relationships in the past before, but like at the end of the day, mm-hmm. it is what it is.
That's like me one time, I have one of my best friends at the time. Her and I had a falling out about something. I was so upset with her. So for like 3 or 4 days straight, she was calling me, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna call you right back. And then I was like, I wasn't answering it on the next call. And then I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna call you right back. Child, one day she called me. She said, listen, I realize you got an attitude or something, but I need you to forgive me like you be forgiving them dudes.
Right? No, but that part.
Though. I almost died.
Because we be forgetting the dudes yeah. a lot easier than
she
we do
said,
the friends.
She said, no, I seen you give homeboy like yep. 13 tries. This is my first go. I need another go. Don't play with me.
No, I was you like, ain't okay. lying. You ain't like, cause the friendship that I mourned too, I was just like, I told that person, like, you will bend yourself backwards to try and get back on a man's good grace, or decide to throw a chase after him, but you weren't even willing to walk towards this. I was like, ain't no way we're friends. Ain't yeah. no way.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get into family. We gave friends a lot of space there. And I'm hoping to get into lighter talks, cause it's about to get heavy. Kaya, family over everything? Question mark.
I believe in what's right is right and mm-hmm. wrong is wrong. Because I have so many siblings, I was never able to draw the board that way. Oh, because it's my sister. Well, what happens when it's 15 siblings fighting, having a fight about something? Whose side do you choose then? No, you choose who's right.
Yeah.
Not your favorite, not the one you're close. No, no. Who's right in this? And then take some deliberation. So, no, I don't believe in that. Right is right and wrong is wrong.
So, I used to come from that mentality through and through, right? It was like family over everything, like rah-rah, I'm ready to go and whatnot. And this was my younger years, if you will. And then you grow up and realize that family is a conglomerate of humans. Mm-hmm. and the same way there are some good people in the world, there are some bad people in the world. And guess what? You're related to both.
Absolutely.
You're related to both, and that because they're family mm-hmm. No longer works in my realm. And this, I have to say, is when I hit 30. So when I hit my 30s, this mm-hmm. is where I shifted. And it was interesting because when I went back to look at things when I was younger, I was just like, oh my gosh, like we can just, like, why don't you guys just like kiss and make up? We're family for heaven's sake, and da 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 da. And the more and more I hear it as I grow up, watch TV, like, well, you're supposed to make up because you're family and all these different things. And when I hit 30 and I saw how certain people moved mm-hmm. in life, period. And then I started watching you like people. I was just like, oh no, the because we're family situation, that's no longer an argument that you can use in my space. It doesn't work.
Yes. Yes.
So this is where it gets heavy, right? I seen a post. I've been seeing a couple of these posts, and because, you know, if you talk around your phone's going to bombard you.
Yes.
With all these stuff too, right? But if you yourself have gone through it, if you haven't, you may know someone who has, or there's probably, it's probably goes as far as a second degree. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go that far from where you have someone in your circle who's experienced sexual assault or molestation. And this is where we really want to spark that conversation, because I feel like we, as Black people, grow up in a space of shame. That was something that was put onto us from a slavery perspective. That's something that's put onto us from a religious perspective. And you're supposed to feel shame, and you're supposed to keep your business in your house, right? You're not supposed to go tell your business in the streets, is what you're being told. But I'm having issue because you're doing that to the detriment of also protecting predators that are within your family. And I don't know what's happening, but, you know, I'm seeing left, right, and center people. What sparked this was seeing a video of a woman saying she finally put her her predator in jail for life after, I think, 20 some odd years of being assaulted. And it ended up being her father, who also fathered her three children.
Yes, I absolutely read that the other day.
And this was a Black